of all the mature, responsible things you could be doing. Helping old ladies cross the street, proudly maintaining your yard, hanging with your folks, or cleaning your room. But get real, you'd rather be playing video games. You can rent them from Blockbuster. They've got more of the coolest new Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis games for rent than anyone in the world. So dudes, why not get your games at Blockbuster? It's the mature thing to do.
What is it?
It's time to go back.
Welcome.
Hey there, welcome back to Generation S. It is a podcast about growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s. Let me put it to you this way. If you grew up on a Friday night going to a video store and spending more time picking out a movie than you did watching said movie, this podcast is probably for you. I'm Dan Kemp and joined by the returning Lou Carnevale. Lou, welcome back.
I'm definitely guilty at staring at the box art for movies and games longer than actually watched or played the actual product.
I mean, yeah, and it still continues to this day. That's like the modern day equivalent of like browsing Netflix for 3 hours to find nothing that you want to watch, you know? So
yes, exactly.
Oh man, well, dude, it's good to have you back on the show. I think it's been, I mean, what, a month? It's been a few weeks, I know.
Too long.
Always too long, but always good to have you back. And this week, I brought you back specifically because I couldn't think of a better person to talk about this with. We are talking all about Blockbuster and kind of just movie rentals in general from the 90s, the early 2000s. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm going to start things off with a bang and a bit of controversy here. I did not go to Blockbuster as a kid. In fact, I'm trying to think if I've ever actually been inside of a Blockbuster.
You definitely were.
Was I?
At least one time with me, and I'll get to that story because it's the tail end.
It had to have been when we were like obviously in college or even after college then. Because I mean, as a kid, I think we may have had one sort of near us, but we had closer places, and honestly, we had cheaper places to rent videos from that we would. Because I rented videos, just not from Blockbuster specifically. But that's probably a good segue. Then let's go ahead and talk about just the kind of the rise of video rentals during our childhood, and then we'll get into specifically Blockbuster. That's where you'll probably take over, and then we'll talk about kind of how things maybe fizzled out a little bit. And actually, really excited. I've got some listener engagement on this. When I had some of our listeners reach out to me and give us some feedback on their experiences with Blockbuster. So I'm going to shout them out at the end of the show here. So very exciting.
Very exciting. Hopefully they're not complaining about late fees.
I was reading through some of them. I don't think I saw late fees, but I'll double check because, I mean,
all right,
that was part of it, right? Was if you didn't return it on time, you paid, out the wazoo for late fees.
You did.
So let's, all right. Earliest memories of renting movies, I'm trying to think for me. I mean, we always did. Like, from like when I was born, my parents were renting movies all the way up, because my sister was older than me. They would rent movies for her all the way up until I was, in my preteen years, late teen years, we were renting movies. I mean, what about you? Was that always part of your childhood?
Yeah. We started at a mom and pop store on Long Island called World Video. They were pretty big place for a mom and pop, but my earliest memories was, shockingly, the wrestling section.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to go in and rent a wrestling VHS. And I remember it's crazy as you get older and the amount of stuff and responsibilities you have pile up, but small things stay in your mind and you remember them very vividly. WrestleMania 3, the VHS, was two VHSs.
Oh, really? Because it was so long.
So you opened it like a book.
Okay.
And when you opened it, it was a pop-up of Hogan and Andre staring at each other. And that blew my mind.
And you were able to take that home with you? Because I feel like they would have like put it in just like a regular plastic whatever.
No, that's exactly right. So you got to open up and see it, and they would have like styrofoam in the actual VHS cover.
Gotcha.
With styrofoam, or sometimes I think it was just a blank VHS. You bring it to the counter, they'd go find the tape, put it in that clear tape, clear tape box, like a hard plastic, with their little sticker on it, and off you went. You didn't actually bring home the VHS cover, but the artwork
you got
was
to see
there.
Them. It was exactly right. Yeah, and I remember, it's funny because I remember two paths that these movie stores would go. One was, like you said, where you bring the cover up to the counter and they just grab whatever, wherever it's stored, they grab like the generic case for Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, whatever it was, and that's what you took home. Mm-hmm. There was other stores though that I don't remember this. They would put the VHS boxes inside these hard plastic like sleeves that you would like take home with you with the artwork in it, and then you would squeeze the sides to like open it up to have the tape slide out. Do you remember those?
Yes, I do. I'm going to give a little away. When I worked at Hollywood Video, we had those, but I'll get to that.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, no, because I do want to talk about your time working on that side of the counter, because that's, you have a very unique perspective there. But, I mean, you think about it. I mean, movie rentals were around since the 80s. Basically, once people got VCRs and could play tapes at home, that's when VHS tapes really took off. So, the mid to late 80s, early 90s.
It's funny you're mentioning the 80s. I was at a garage sale this weekend. They didn't have VHSs. They had Betamax
tapes. Yeah, baby. That's what I had growing up.
I have not seen a Betamax tape since we were in college, and our college professor went, "This is a Betamax tape." I go, "What the hell is that? I've never seen one." Never seen one before, never seen one after, but summer of 2023, I just saw Betamax in the wild.
Dude, I had dozens of Betamax tapes. That's how I first saw Star Wars. I had never, we had a Betamax player, and that's how I watched it. Crazy. So what's great about Betamax is that the quality of the video was much better than VHS. It was more expensive, so that's why I think ultimately VHS won out. That and porn, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day. But yeah, good for you, man. Betamax is great. I love Betamax.
Very exciting. I thought of you right away. I didn't text you about
should
it.
Now, you should have taken a picture of it. Yeah, jeez.
I should have.
Party film.
Yeah, that's on me. All right, next time
one. So, people got VCRs. They're not called VHS players, by the way, folks. They're called VCRs because that's just...
Correct, I agree.
But once those started really, getting into every household, people were renting movies, right? Because you could, even back then, it was not cheap or not expensive to rent a movie. I remember they would have like the 5 for $5 deal where you could get 5 movies, $5, 5 days. Like, that was a hell of a deal. It was at my, it was called Big Dog Video in Queensbury. And we would go there. It was actually, do you know where Joanne, we're totally going local here. You know Joanne Fabrics in the plaza there? That used to be a Big Dog Video store. It was a giant video store.
Okay.
So that's where we would go. We would.
We're talking
mid-90s.
We're talking early 90s?
We're talking 95 to 97-ish. Yeah. We would go to the China Buffet that was right there for dinner. We would stop off at the Yankee Dollar store right next door. And then we'd finish the evening out by renting a few movies. So there you go. Boom. And
hell, in my mid-30s, that sounds like an awesome
night. It's amazing. Yeah, it really is.
Right? I would do that in a heartbeat right now.
It's the best.
We're going to get Chinese food. We're going to go to a dollar store. We're going to go to rent some movies. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
No, it was a hell of,
sign me
hell
up.
Of a Friday night. So, but yeah, and I feel like that's an experience that a lot of people shared, right? And it wasn't just the movies. It was the video games. Now, for me, I never rented video games. And again, I mentioned I really never went into Blockbuster. I never rented them at Hollywood Video or any of the other chains. I rented video games from the grocery store because that was the thing. You could rent movies and video games at like Price Chopper and Hannaford. Do you remember that at all or probably not?
No, never had that
okay.
by me.
So that was totally a thing. That's how I rented all with Sega and Nintendo was all we rented. Because by the time we had like PlayStation, we weren't renting games really anymore, honestly. We were getting them and playing whatever we owned. We weren't really renting any games at that point. But what about you? So what was like the first system that you rented games for and was it at Blockbuster?
I think it was because I went to the mom and pop video store. I don't remember them having games. And if they did, I think they were kind of expensive to even rent. My first job ever was working at a baseball card store and I was like 10 or 11. So we're talking like 94, 95, 96, somewhere in there, give or take. And part of my payment was $5 an hour.
Nice. for 10 and 11 years old, that's great.
Great, and I just open baseball cards and just sort them into like the New York teams and rookie cards and all that good stuff. But it was $5 an hour, so I walk home with like $20, and I get to rent the video game for the weekend. So that's actually my first memory of renting games. But when I got to actually renting games, it was at Blockbuster, and I think it was probably Super Nintendo was probably the system I rented
earliest.
First.
Yeah,
at Blockbuster. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. Like I said, it was definitely a Nintendo and Sega. I'm trying to remember. Actually, I do remember one of the first games I ever rented. I played it recently on No Continues on the YouTube channel. Little plug there. It was Mortal Kombat, actually. And I was in first grade when we rented Mortal Kombat. It was
Now,
it was for my sister, who was, again, she's 8 years older than me, so she would have been, like, you know, middle school, and she, you know, so she played it, but then I got to play it with her, and so that, I remember renting that. I remember renting the original Ninja Turtles Nintendo game, the first one, the shitty one. Yeah.
Oof, that's
brutal. I know,
brutal.
It was, but I loved it as a kid. And there's a few others that we would rent pretty consistently, but those were like, Booger Man, that was another one we rented a lot. Remember?
A pick and flick
yes.
adventure.
Oh, God, I should do an episode about Booger Man on No Continues.
You
that's
should.
A fun game. But anyway, so
see now, I remember.
I was just gonna say that was kind of my early memories of renting video games, but it was never at like a traditional, you know, rental store.
I remember my first game I ever rented from Blockbuster. It popped in my head when we were talking about this. Super Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh, the sequel. Yeah, Nintendo. Yeah. There you go, man. That's a hard game too.
Yeah, that'll make you a man or make you into a crying baby. It made me into a crying baby. I go, what is this? Put Mario back in. I said Mario.
Yes. No Mario.
Put Mario back in. But that was the first game I ever rented at a Blockbuster.
Nice. There you go. Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Ugh. That's tough.
Yeah, it was really tough.
Well, listen, let's talk Blockbuster specifically. This is where you're going to drive for a little bit, because again, I don't have fond memories of Blockbuster, but tell me about your Blockbuster experience with the blue and yellow.
Oh, the blue and yellow. Right. So I had a Blockbuster around the corner from where I lived. So I would walk there. It was going from the mom and pop to the Blockbuster, man, it was polished. Yeah. You went from the mom and pop and the subways out to the, you know, the bright lights. And, you know, they didn't have the mommy and daddy section. That was one
Oh,
thing.
Right. Yeah. The adult movie section. Yeah.
They did not have it. It was way more clean. It was way more lit up. It was way more organized, way more inventory. They had, like, you know, the video games were on one side, the movies were on the other. They were able to check to see if other locations had them too, which was crazy. You could put things on hold. You know, I remember, like, when you would go in and you would ask if they had a game, they would have, like, a, you know, the return bin outside, and the, you know, if you ask nice, like, would you mind checking the return bin? Like, oh, okay. And they go out the keys and they would unlock the, you know, like the mailbox thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to get them anyway, so might as well go check.
They would go check, you know. I also remember if they were like if you go to a library, you know, they get the new, the return books, they would stack them up like on the side or like on the little push cart. They would have that for the movie. So you'd go and you would look to try to find it. It was cool. It was fun. I don't think the prices were too bad. Not only could you, I don't know if you know this, not only could you rent movies and video games, you could rent systems at one point.
I never did, but I think I'd heard about that. Yeah, I never did. That's expensive, right? That was probably not cheap.
I never did. I just remember seeing, I want to say it was like the Sega Saturn, Sega CD era that was able to be rented. But it was cool. Some of the times they had like kiosks with actual like systems that you could play.
Oh yeah, like the demo stations, you know, or whatever. Those I remember for sure.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and then, you know, they have giveaways and contests. I've talked about the contests before on the podcast. I'll rehash it quick. I was in a Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters on Super Nintendo, and I came in second place, and they gave me a pin. And I wish I had the pin, because the pin's probably a collector's item now, because obviously gone. But nothing but good experiences. I don't recall ever, other than like, oh, they don't have Donkey Kong Country again and again and again and again. Other than that, I really never had a bad experience. And when things went on clearance, they would sell them. They'd be like dirt cheap. The games were like super inexpensive. Excess inventories or just games that weren't moving or movies that weren't moving. But really fun. Fun memories, and they all smell like popcorn, like you're in a
movie.
Well,
I was going to ask you about the popcorn, because that's even not just at Blockbuster, but it's like most movie stores that you went to had a popcorn thing on your way out, and they would include, get a bag with your rental or whatever. Did you always get popcorn, or?
No, I didn't have it like you could take it. They had like a candy and popcorn station, like you would buy the microwavable,
okay.
Which apparently you're not supposed to eat anymore.
What, microwave popcorn? Why not?
Dampened my. Oh, apparently like the chemicals that are in it are not very good.
No.
For you.
Someone told me. Yeah, jeez, I had some the other day, man.
Yeah, don't eat that anymore. You know what's funny? I was told that. I'm like, come on. That's just overreacting. And I looked. I'm like, oh, well, let me see if I can find another website. Oh, well, third time's the charm. Oh, well, guess I'm throwing all these out. Yeah, seriously. Okay. Don't. All right. At least do your research.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
But a PSA from Lou is don't eat microwave popcorn. Go get the ones that you can put on your stove. And it'll
the Jiffy Pop.
Up.
That's the best, man. It's hard to find those, though, these days. I think you...
It is.
I think I've gotten them on like online before, like on Amazon, just as like a novelty thing, but like, and like, you know, did it over a fire or whatever. But yeah, no. And then what about like the pre-bagged popcorn, like Skinny Pop or any of those? Do you ever buy any of those with like the Smart Pop or whatever?
They didn't have those. I don't think they had those at Blockbuster. I mean, maybe when they were doing like an event.
I gotcha. Okay.
Like I remember they used to have like a sidewalk sale. So like really getting rid of excess inventory. Yeah. That's when they would have like a popcorn machine or face painting for the kids or something like that. But it's like a normal day at Blockbuster. You just walk in. They would have like a little station for snacks and sodas and all that good stuff that parents didn't want their kids to have. But come on, I want Sour Patch Kids.
I'm trying to think of like when I think of like movie store candy, because that was, you're right. At Hollywood Video, they had them too. There's like two specific candy items that come to mind. One of which is Sour Punch straws. I feel like that's like a staple. Yeah,
wow.
And then
okay.
The other one is cookie dough bites. Do you remember those? They were like chocolate covered balls of cookie dough.
I do remember those.
And then I thought that was the coolest thing, that like you could get like, oh, it's cookie dough. Well, you could just buy it. You know, you don't have to wait for mom to make it. But no, it's interesting that Blockbuster never had like the popcorn machine, because I'm talking when we would go places, they would have like you would get at the movie theater. Like they would make the popcorn in the big machine and scoop a big, you know, amount out into a bag for you to take home with you. So I guess maybe from a cost perspective.
No, they didn't have it. Neither did Hollywood Video.
Interesting.
Yeah, they didn't. Neither one of those. None of the chains.
Might have been
had
a mom
it.
And pop thing. And I don't know.
At least mine didn't.
Right.
At least mine did. Maybe other ones did.
Maybe.
But the ones
I only remember from like local mom and pop rental places. So who knows? I know that it was definitely something like we would all get a bag of popcorn. We'd usually eat it on the way home from the movie store. So it's not like we ate it while we watched the movie, of course, but that didn't matter.
Oh yeah, wouldn't make it home.
So all right, let me ask you. So we talked about, you know, kind of just like the aura of Blockbuster, but let's talk about rentals again here for a second. Was there any movie in particular that you would rent like on repeat?
A movie that I've rented on repeat.
Yeah, like you would go back and be like, oh, this is like...
I honestly think I went... It was mostly games.
Yeah?
I had Blockbuster. It was mostly games. They didn't as funny thing is, I talked to mom and pop. They didn't have mom and pop section had a lot of wrestling. Blockbuster didn't, but they had a lot of sports.
Okay.
So I remember getting, so we're talking probably 96, 97. The Yankees were doing very good. They used to have like World Series recap videos.
Oh, nice.
And those I used to rent because I wanted to learn about the other World Series. So it would just be like a 60-minute tape and it would show you the teams that, I mean, they still make them now. If your team wins a championship, not that my teams win championships anymore, but I would watch them and like, oh, these Toronto Blue Jays are amazing for 2 years and then nothing since.
Right.
And these Minnesota Twins are fantastic and nothing since. And these Braves are unbeatable, well, which was kind of true. So I actually got a lot of the sports stuff. Not until I got older and I worked at Hollywood Video, and I'll say why when we get to that point. It was mostly just video games at Blockbuster during my youth.
Now, what about, like, the other, like, the mom and pop shop. Like, so, like, for me, I can remember renting, because I rented a lot of movies. There were certain movies that I rented on repeat. I can think of two right out of the gate that I rented all the time. One of which was a movie called Drop Dead Fred. You ever heard of that movie?
I have, but only.
Oh, really?
You.
Okay, yeah. It's a very obscure '90s comedy, and it's amazing. So, if you haven't, if you're listening to this podcast and you have not heard of Drop Dead Fred, go find it. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere, because that's what we can do now, which is what will segue us into the downfall section here in a minute. But the other movie that I rented all the time, and I to this day I love it, is the original Super Mario Brothers live action movie.
Really?
Love that movie to death. Like, I will defend that. I own it. I to the point where, like, in the last 6 months, I bought it on DVD.
Now, let me ask you, I'm buying it on DVD. Is it more expensive because less people are buying it?
Surprisingly, no. I think I paid $4 for it.
Isn't it crazy? I'm going to go on a mini soapbox for a second. Remember we were in college and we were still using the zip drives?
Yes, oh yeah.
And we had to record our shows on cassettes?
Yep, I do.
Okay, but that was dated technology and nobody was using it anymore, but it was actually more expensive because less were being produced. Yes. So I don't know if that's the trend now with physical media, which I'm a fan of physical media. I'd rather have it than just, oh, I own it via streaming. Well, what if you get locked out of that account or break up with that person and you don't have it anymore?
I like both. I like getting like the Blu-ray with the digital copy. You know what I mean? Because I'll usually watch it digitally, but I have the physical media that if I need to watch it or honestly, a lot of times if I like, let's say I buy a 4K Blu-ray, you know, I may want to just watch it on the disc and not worry about like the lag so that I get that true 4K video experience. You know what I mean? Like it just looks better.
It's funny you mention that because I am in the process of moving right now. And one of my housewarming gifts was from Dan Vorbeck, who's been on our show before. He did the Goosebumps episodes with us and done some Power Ranger stuff with me also. He bought me this way too big of a TV to the point where it didn't fit on the stand. But and no, it really didn't. And I go, oh, great. Thanks for the TV. And I got to go buy
just
a
get
stand.
It
but it wouldn't fit. When I show you the setup, it wouldn't fit. But the thing is, I have no internet in the house yet, so I just popped in a Blu-ray, and I go, oh my God, like I haven't watched a Blu-ray in months. And we put in Rogue One, and the opening scene is you could see like the raindrops on the Imperial Stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, you know what? Sometimes I don't want to stream, because like I'm getting the full image right here. This is the way it's supposed to look. Streaming, yes, I get it, especially if you got you have kids. Especially if you have kids, I can understand. Like, boom, done, here, watch.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit there and load it up and this, that, and the other thing, but I agree with you. It's still the best viewing experience is to take the movie and watch it on a Blu-ray.
Well, and part of the reason why I bought the Super Mario Brothers movie on DVD is because you can't download it digitally. It's not available. So like that was the only, if I was going to watch it and not have to watch like a shitty bootleg version on YouTube, like I had to buy it. So I'm like, all right, let me see what it is. And if it was maybe $7 or $10 or something like that. I'm like,
you didn't break
it. No, and it was like the original print DVD that had come out whenever they made it. So like the late 90s or the early 2000s, whatever they put it on the DVD, that was the version. And it sucked. It was terrible. There's no special features or nothing, but the movie was there and it was good and we watched it and my kids love it. So,
and it worked.
It was great. So anyway, those are the two movies that I remember watching and renting on repeat because we didn't buy a lot of movies back in the day. Like what we would do is we would rent. Sometimes my mom would do the classic, like copy the movie to another tape, you know, that whole thing
where
you had like two TVs and two VCRs. So we would do that.
Yep.
But I remember there's a couple of movies that we did that with, one of which was Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Still have never seen it.
Oh, dude, you got to watch it. It's so bad.
I know. It's terrible, but it's
so fun. We should do like a review on it.
It's terrible of me that I've
no. The movie's terrible too. You were right the first time.
Street Fighter fan.
But no. We should watch it and totally review that for the podcast because it's terrible.
Twist my arm.
But that was one of those movies that on the tape had like the anti-piracy something or whatever. Because when you would record, if you recorded a movie that had anti-piracy, when you would play the copied version, it would go light. It would go dark and go light, and it was very distracting. The same thing happened. She tried doing that with the original Star Wars trilogy. We rented that one time, and she tried copying it, and it would just go light and dark. So you could watch it, but it just looked like shit. Like they literally put it was like an analog anti-piracy thing on the tape.
So, you know, I did that in end of high school and in beginning of college. I had a DVD burner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do. We used it. I remember.
So I would get. Yep, I would get the WWE pay-per-views, and I would just, well, instead of buying them on DVD, I'll just record them on DVD, and it was primitive. I couldn't make auto chapters. It would just be like a chapter big in the middle of the match, like, oh. Or like, the next chapter is 2-3. I'm like, oh, well, there goes that match.
So, all right, let's, you know, we talked about really kind of the glory days of renting movies. Oh, here we go. One other thing I want to cover in this whole era is, you know, the golden rule. When you think of movie rental golden rules, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
Be kind, rewind.
There it is, right there. And so we actually had a tape rewinder.
Wow.
Did you have one of those?
What, at my house?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, dude, it was great. I don't know where we got it from, but like that was great because if we wanted to start the next movie, we could pop that one in and rewind it, and then just boom, you're going.
You guys are movie buffs. I was the video game guy at Blockbuster and whatnot, but I remember seeing them at Blockbuster. They had like a line of them. They're just like, you know, four, five, six, maybe more, and they would just be all lined up.
Tape rewinder.
Pop, 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 pop.
And they're so loud, man. Like, I remember, like, not only are they loud, like, throughout the rewinding, like, portion of it, but, like, when it stops at the end, it's like, you don't know when it's going to happen, and it just goes, click! And, like, just scares the shit out of you.
Wakes you up, right?
So, it wakes you up. Let me tell you what, man. So, yeah, Be Kind, Rewind. We always rewound our tapes. We were the good family that did that because they never did anything if you didn't, right? Like, they couldn't charge you for it. They just,
no,
just be like,
I think they may have threatened you to, but I don't think they could have.
Well, they can't track that. Back then, they couldn't track that. Maybe now, but you're not renting them now.
Well, come from the guy from Hollywood Video. Yes, you can.
Oh, you did? Okay. And so, would you make notes when you worked at Hollywood Video?
No, by then, it was mostly DVD.
Oh, okay.
It was like for every 10 movies that came in, it was an 8-to-2 ratio, 8 DVDs, 2 VHSs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So really it was kind of, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Well, listen,
out.
That's a perfect segue because I do want to talk about, you know, I guess we'll call it like the digital disruption, right? Where, you know, not only did you get digital media on DVD and Blu-ray, but then that obviously very quickly blossomed into streaming and then really just no longer renting movies at all. So, one of your first jobs in high school was to work at a Hollywood Video, which, yep. I mean, this is kind of where it started. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you worked there, but is this where things kind of started to wind down as far as like traditional rentals?
No, it was, so I started Hollywood Video in 2003, fall of 2003.
Okay.
So it was still strong. There was no streaming at all. No, there was no uttering of streaming. The closest thing that was going on was Netflix, but you had to, you know, go online, pick out your DVDs, and then wait for them in the mail.
Yes.
So some people were doing it, but most people were like, well, why would I wait? I'm going to order it on a Monday. I'm going to get it by Thursday.
Right.
Meanwhile, I can just go down the road, drive 5 minutes, get the movie, come back home, and drop it off. So it wasn't really competition. I think it was towards the end of the golden age of the rental stores, because the mom and pops, they were hurt. They were going out of business because of Hollywood Video and Blockbuster.
Right. Because you had these, I mean, because they had better policies, they had more selection.
Yes.
They had, eventually, they would have better deals on renting movies and, like, you know, bundles or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could get it all there. You know, you had the video games, you had basically everything you would need in one place.
Yeah. And they would have more, like you said, more inventory of the new stuff. They would be more likely to have inventory of older movies, because if the mom and pop gets 3 movies of Rocky, they're going to be rented. And they're going to get worn down, whereas Hollywood Video or Blockbuster is going to have 10. And let's say if half their inventory goes away because of just being broken down, they're going to have more of a selection. So
exactly.
It was towards the end of the golden age, shall we say, of that time period. So to give you an idea, this is during the PlayStation 2, GameCube, original Xbox era also.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
so,
you know,
early 2000s.
Yeah, 03, 04. Prime conversation for our podcast.
That's right.
And, you know, an 8-to-2 ratio of what came in was DVD over VHS. And those VHSs did have it was the box art with the hard plastic or the semi-hard plastic around it. And you would squeeze the side of it and shoop, it would shoot out.
Yep.
The DVDs had the purple, like a piece of purple plastic that went up where you would open it. With the entire length of it, so you couldn't go in and you couldn't open the DVD package to take the DVD out, because everything was actually in the DVD case or the VHS case itself.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I had to, like, you know, you're renting your DVD, I would take it and kind of like use this device to slice. I think
it's like the clothing store thing, or like the tags on electronics or whatever.
Yeah, it's similar. I think Best Buy still has them for like new releases on video games. If you actually go to a Best Buy and buy a video game, they still have the cases and they'll open them. So that's what we did. And in terms of tracking things, we would track things. Not so much to rewind, because, again, VHS, who cares?
Yeah.
But when we would get the DVD, especially when they were dropped off in the bin, you would open up and be like, okay, you rented Bruce Almighty and you brought back American Pie.
Right. And so, and it's, you know, who did it because of whatever it was due, or was there like maybe a tracking number on the side of it? Or
yeah, you would scan it back in, and it would say, you know, Joe Smith brought it in. You call up Joe Smith, like, hey, this is Lou with Hollywood Video. You rented Bruce Almighty, and you brought back American Pie. please give us a call when you get a chance. 75% of the time, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Happens. Yeah. The other 25% never came back. They got a movie. Or the worst was the games, because those were way more expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're renting Mario Kart on GameCube, and you're getting back, I don't know, Bubble Bobble or something like that. I don't know. Let's pick a random some GameCube game.
Shitty GameCube
some
game.
Crappy game that they probably got for $10. So that hurt also. They didn't auto-charge the cards. We said we were going to, but they never did.
Yeah.
But the account got flagged and never came back. They weren't allowed to rent unless they paid. On top of the late fees and all that good stuff.
Late fees. Well, and that's, you know, late fees were... I remember toward the end of Blockbuster, they would advertise no more late fees. You could keep the movies as long as you could, because at that point, Netflix really was kicking ass with the mail-in DVD.
Yeah, that's when Netflix really... Because they were over... I think they were overnighting them. And it was cheaper. And there was no late fees. And that's... When we got into college, that was when... So we're talking 07... Oh, 5, 6, and 7?
Yeah.
That was the end of it. That was, I want to say 2009 and 10 was the, probably more than that, probably 2008, give or take. I remember going to a Blockbuster when they had the summer of, you would pay $20 a month and you would get unlimited rentals, two at a time.
Okay.
And this is when your brother was burning Xbox games. And we would go in, and I would just say, I would just start at the beginning of the alphabet. I'm like, I'm taking these two. And just go to your brother, be like, here you go. Okay, they're burned. Okay, great. Thank you. Bye. And I go back the next day and take the next two. And then essentially you had the whole Xbox library.
That's right.
But that was it. That was the end of it. Because I remember seeing a big advertisement for Madden that year, and Brett Favre was on it. He just went to the Jets. So that was, I think, the last year we were in college. But that was it. And they just slowly died because they didn't evolve. They didn't change.
And this was before streaming had even really taken off. This streaming is not... I think streaming put the nail in the coffin, but it was the mail-in DVDs that were cheaper that you could keep longer and more selection even like at Netflix. Like it rarely ever was not available on DVD. You know what I mean? For Netflix.
Because I remember the first time I saw Netflix streaming was actually at your house, WrestleMania 27. So let's do that quick. No. So we're at WrestleMania 39. So we're talking
only 12 years ago.
12 years ago. That was it. What is this?
Yeah.
And actually, ironically, that's what got me back into Power Rangers.
Oh, it's because they had all the Power Rangers.
They had all the Power Rangers. I'm like, Tommy's still on the show. But that was the first time. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. So it was. It was the DVDs. And because I think you started to get like Redbox, right? That came out. I mean, I've never used Redbox, honestly. Maybe once. But like, how long has Redbox been around? Because I know Blockbuster came out with something similar toward the end, where like you go to a kiosk and you get the movie out of the kiosk and then you bring it back to that kiosk, and they were all over like grocery stores and post office and stuff like that. Have you ever used any of those?
I've used a Redbox, and I've used what's called DVD Express. They had those in Queens.
Probably similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You go and you swipe your credit card, you pick your movie, you get it for $1.50, and it's $1.50 a night. So you just plan on like, well, we're going to watch it tonight. And I'll just bring it back tomorrow. It's on the way home. But I get it. It could be inconvenient if like, oh, I forgot it and I went to work and I'm gonna get hit with another fee. It's only $1, but it probably adds up. But that's what killed Blockbuster, I think, was the no late fee things because of the Netflix stuff. But if you're buying a think about this. If you go there and video games were 50 back then, now they're 70. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go get the new Madden game. I'm gonna rent it. I could pay my $8.50, $9.50, $10, whatever it was, and I could have it the entire football season into the Super Bowl. Here you go. It's back. And if you want to go get it, and if they have 10 copies and all 10 people go there and do the same exact thing, the 11th person's going to go, oh, they don't have Madden. All right. Well, I guess I'll just go buy it. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's what did it. I think they went... I think it was going to happen inevitably, obviously, but I think the no late fee thing actually hurt them quicker. They shot themselves in the foot with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, long term, it's not sustainable, right? It seems appealing at first, but when you don't have the inventory to be able to manage that for large groups of people that you've now brought away from the mom and pop shops, it's not sustainable at all. I did have a question for you because you worked at Hollywood Video.
Sure.
I never... return anything late. I should say I've returned late, but like never like not return and had to pay for a movie. So like, what did a place like a Hulu Video charge you for like a movie if you never bring it back and you still want to rent there?
I think if we had a credit card on file, they would charge it.
Okay.
And if not, then they would flag the account. If the person ever came back, they would say, you know, you can't rent from us.
But let's say they did. Let's say they want to rent from you. Like, I lost the movie. I don't know where it is.
Oh, they would
How
charge
much
them
like, do I owe you?
Yeah, they'll probably charge them $20. Like
$20. Okay.
Yeah, what it actually would cost. So here's a fun thing about Hulu Video. Back in the day, movies would come out Tuesday. And I learned this at Hulu. Why does every manager always work a Tuesday? Because Tuesday was release day for everything.
Okay.
It was a release day for DVDs, VHS, and video games. Those are always the street dates. It's funny now, I still kind of chuckle when I look at video games because I don't really keep track of when a movie's coming out. But if there's a game I really want, most of the time they still come out on a Tuesday. Most
it's a
of
Tuesday,
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, but one of the perks of Hulu Video was not only do you get free rentals, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You would get free rentals before they had a street date. So they would come in on a Friday. I always worked a Saturday because I was low man in the totem pole. I was a kid. I would work on a Saturday, and I would get a movie Saturday night when I'm leaving, bring it home, or a video game, have the video game and be able to play it on Saturday night into Sunday before it came out on Tuesday.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So when Mario Kart came out or Pirates of the Caribbean, that was a big one. I'm watching it Saturday night, Sunday during the day, and it's coming out on Tuesday. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. You're watching it before. I mean, technically, it had already been in theaters in that case, but you're still watching,
it
before everyone
home.
Else could rent it.
So that I can answer. During that era, I can answer what I rented repeatedly.
Yeah.
oh, man. Something just crossed my mind that I have not thought about for probably 20 years, and that's really, really crazy. Terrible movie. I'll get to that in a second. So, Pirates of the Caribbean, the original.
Yep.
I rented. Bruce Almighty, another one I rented a lot. Analyze This and That. I rented a lot also.
Oh, yeah, with Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal.
They didn't have wrestling, but they had UFC DVDs. Like the old UFC with Ken Shamrock and Tank Abbott, Dan Severin. No gloves, just a bunch of dudes like in a bar fight. I remember those. Video games, I remember renting. Obviously, I mentioned Mario Kart a few times, NHL hits. I rented some movie called Charlito's, not Charlie's Angels, Charlito's Angels.
Oh, my.
The girls on the cover were hot, and the car looked hot. I remember.
What section of the store was that from, Lou?
It was from the regular section, because Hollywood Video also didn't have the mommy and daddy section.
We didn't talk about that enough. I was too young to go in that section, obviously. But really, all it was like a dark room with a curtain on the front of it that said, no kids, right? That was like...
The one at the mom-and-pop place that I had, it was literally like a quarter of the store. It was a big section.
Oh, really?
It was big.
Oh.
But then again, I'm a kid, so it felt like it was like the mommy and daddy section
huge.
Was roped off. Yeah.
Right, right.
I want to say it was... Yeah, maybe it was even one-third of it. I don't know. But it was... You walked in, you had like two rows, you go all the way down that you could walk in, and then the third row was walled off, like half a wall. Fire code, kids. It's not a permanent structure. Here's Lou from operations. It's not a permanent structure if it hits the ceiling. So you don't need a permit if it goes to the ceiling. But at least that's New York City and New York State. But I remember it. Why the hell do I remember this? And it had like those old Western doors that would like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You would like walk through and they would like whoosh open like, coop, 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 coop.
Yeah,
that was the mommy and daddy section. So, and they had their own counter in the mommy and daddy section too.
Well, yeah, you know, it's all discreet. And you probably put in like a paper bag and look like a hobo walking out there with your,
with a trench coat, right? And sunglasses.
Like
and a hat. It's like that guy on the Neighborhood Watch logo, right? Like,
that's right.
That's the guy.
He was the one renting porn at your local mom and pop video store.
But that's
folks.
The thing, okay? But again, growing up in Atlanta, they had standalone stores. Why would you go to the store where you're gonna walk past the mom, walk past the kids, and go into the adult section where there's probably an adult store like right down the road?
It's like, and if it, I was that, if it's a mom and pop, it's probably people you know. It's all local people.
Yeah, so like unless you drove out of your way.
Right. In which case, just go to a store that's all they do is just mom and pop or mommy and daddy stuff.
Yeah, mommy and daddy stuff. I mean, Blockbuster and Hollywood Video, they did have like Skinemax level stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's whatever.
But I don't even think Charlito's Angels. I got to look that up now as you're talking.
Me too, because I've never heard of that movie. So I need you to send me a picture of that.
I'm going to look it up as you say something super awesome while I look this up.
Of course, Sam. Well, actually, that's a perfect segue because before we started recording, I did reach out on Facebook and to listeners to say, hey, listen, we are talking Blockbuster. We're talking movie rentals tonight. And so I want you to send me some of your best memories and I will give you a shout out on the show. So ergo vis-a-vis, I've got a few people I want to shout out here and talk about their stories. So if you don't mind, I've got the old Facebook pulled up here. So Jason in Atlanta, big listener of the show, by the way, he listens to every episode and lets me know, how I did. And actually big fan of my wife's episodes that she does on here too. So anyway, so Jason in Atlanta, I honestly just liked wandering around looking for new things to try. It's the equivalent of scrolling on Netflix, just like we were talking about earlier. Although I did get tricked a few times when I looked behind a DVD and they were all checked out. Ultimate heartbreak. It was also amusing to see a whole wall of the same DVD on release week, which I'm sure you saw quite a bit when you're working.
Yeah, and I would put them up, so you're welcome.
There it is. All right, big shout out to Scotty Blaine up there in upstate New York. Love Scotty. He's great. Used to work with him at the radio station. So he said, before the WWE Network, I would rent all sorts of wrestling videos at my local stores and Blockbuster. I remember that's how I found out about UFC. I saw tapes and realized that it was real fighting and have been hooked on it ever since. See? There nice. You go, man. Just there like you. Andrew in upstate New York, Hollywood Video every Saturday night. We would stop by, get two or three movies, popcorn, candy, and a soda. As I got older, about the time I started to rent games, mostly because the only game I wanted to own was Madden. I do miss those Saturday nights.
See, I was talking about Madden, and if he was one of those guys that went there and they didn't have it, lost the
customer. Probably wouldn't have bought it. Yeah, there it is, man. Pedro down here in Atlanta. Shout out to Pedro. What's up, buddy? So for him, it was Pizza Hut and Blockbuster Friday nights. Those were his childhood memories. Mm-hmm. He would hang around that store for probably about 30 to 40 minutes before something unique that he hadn't seen before showed up on the shelves. And really, there was just something peaceful and settling about that process. Those were the days.
I agree.
Yeah, man. Todd in Arizona, when the movie or video game that you wanted was rented out, going to the desk and asking the clerk to check the recently returned videos.
Right,
to
find one. Yeah.
This is we have so much in common, guys. To find the one that you want was an awesome feeling. It felt like you knew the cool insider moves to get the stuff you wanted there. Let's see. Hold on a second.
I can go one step further with that because I've been on both sides of the desk. And when you got really comfortable, like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you put a note in the system when it comes in? Give me a call. Would you mind holding it? Okay, great. And sometimes people would tip you.
Yeah.
Usually for the games, for the kids. Like if their kid wanted a game and you're like, listen, I don't want to spend $50 on this stupid game they're probably not going to play. I'd rather rent it for $10. Please give me a call when it comes in. Sure thing, Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith, you know, Mario Party came in. Oh, great. There you go. They give you like $5 or something like that.
Sweet. There you go, man.
Good deal.
Zach in Calhoun, Georgia. Me and my brother used to use a yak back to record messages to play in my dad's ear while he was sleeping to get him to take us to Blockbuster without actually asking. So
what?
I don't know if that's hypnosis. I don't know.
Do you know what a yak back is?
Remember those, dude? It's a recording device.
Yeah. Do you actually remember yak back?
Yeah, of course. I had one. Yes.
Did you?
I love Yak Back. Yeah, Yak Back was great. Meredith in Albany, New York. I lived right by the Blockbuster in University Plaza by SUNY Albany.
Hey
ho.
Hey.
Alma mater there. I went there all the time to rent, but one day when I went to rent and found myself in front of the DVDs for sale area, and I found all four Supermans in one DVD set. I was happy. Best DVD purchase ever made. And then we got one more here. This is Jessica. This is someone from my neck of the woods, Jessica, here in Canton, Georgia. Here we go. My boyfriend in high school used to take me to Blockbuster and we would pick out three movies. It took me a while to figure out that the three movies equaled the amount of time it would take for his mom and dad to go to sleep so that we could mess around.
Nice.
I used to get so irritated because by the second of the middle movie, I was like, come on, man, what gives? And there it is.
So those are all great stories. Thank you, folks. And all relatable.
Yes.
Maybe not the
well, you
movies.
Called most of them. Like, you literally, you had memories of most of those. So,
and that's what this is all about.
That's what this podcast is about, man. These shared memories that you didn't realize you shared with other people.
Well, so. It's funny because I remember just hearing these stories, a couple things jarred my memory. The last individual that went was talking about, oh, it's time basically to make out and stuff like that. I remember going to Blockbuster and renting a movie and didn't get past the main menu. It was called Waiting. Was that the movie?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, never got past the menu.
You never saw it.
Never saw it.
It's a great movie, actually.
It was Waiting. Reynolds. And then also, I could say this. I commented on my first game rental that I vividly remember from Blockbuster. I can also remember the last time I got something at Blockbuster. It wasn't even a rental. When I moved back after said SUNY Albany, went back to Long Island, lived in the same area I grew up in, and that Blockbuster was going out of business and didn't really hit me like they're all going out of business. And yep. I bought The Other Guys, which is such a great, and I am not a Will Ferrell fan. It's such a good movie. It's such a good movie. And ironically, when I was moving, and again, aforementioned Dan Vorbeck bought me that big TV. The first thing we watched, didn't even plan on it, was The Other Guys. He just yanked it out of the DVD rack and like, oh, let's watch this. I go, and it's funny, when I open up the DVD, it's a Blockbuster DVD case. So it has the Blockbuster logo etched in the plastic.
Yes, that's right, because they were like, it was like the watermark or whatever, so that you knew it was from Blockbuster. And it's funny you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, so my wife, Beth, when she bought her first house, it was near a Blockbuster. And she was like, this is great. I could just come here. And this was 2012, right? So there was still Blockbusters around.
They were still there?
Yes.
Wow.
So, but get this. As soon as she moved in, like less than a month later, they went out of business.
Well, she didn't know they were on the rocks at all? Like that as a franchise?
I
mean,
I think she was just excited that there was something nearby. It was her first house. She was by herself. Yeah. Oh, I can go rent a movie, come home, glass of wine, whatever. But I do remember when I moved, you know, we moved in together. And we combined our DVD sets because that's what you do, right? You're like, all right, what do you got? What do I got? All right, let's just put them on the shelf. A lot of hers were like these little tiny thin cases with like just there's no covers, whatever. It's just the disc of like Caddyshack, Pineapple Express, all these movies because she bought them on like mega sale when they were closing down, and that's what they were selling them in at that point.
That was great.
And so we have a few of those on our shelf upstairs, actually. So
if I had to combine my DVD collection, I hope you like wrestling for like 90% of the DVD rack.
That's right.
But yeah, I didn't put two and two together that they were all closing right away. So that was like 2009, 10.
Because it happened pretty quickly.
It did. But you know, there's still one left.
There is in Portland, right? Portland, Oregon?
Yes. And my cousin went, and I have a t-shirt from there. The last Blockbuster. Like that Blockbuster. I don't know what a Blockbuster is. That's the relative of Blockbuster. It's Blockbuster.
There it is.
So he got me a shirt from there, and I'm jealous. Have you watched the documentary, The Last Blockbuster?
I have. Ironically, I've watched it on Netflix.
Wait, right? Well, it's like playing Sonic on Nintendo.
That's right, man. It's just, you know, it just something feels wrong about it, but you can't stop, you know.
Watching Bill Goldberg on WWE Network. It's like, no, this is not. No, I'm not supposed to watch WCW on WWE Network. Not supposed to be playing Sonic on Nintendo. These are just wrong.
It's just you don't do it. But yeah, so I watched it, and I thought it was great. It was fantastic.
It was awesome.
I know there was like a sitcom they came out with based off of that, and it was terrible from what I heard.
Like
I haven't watched it.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. I figured it probably wasn't any good. If you're a listener of the show, you know we do have a merch page, which you can access in the description of the episode at the bottom. I did create a Generation S Blockbuster variant of the logo. So if you want to have some Generation S merch that just screams Blockbuster Video Generation, I'll actually include a direct link to that shirt. And shout out to Nicole in upstate New York. She sent me a picture. I think I put it on the Instagram, but if not, I'll get it out there. She bought the shirt. Looks fantastic on her. So check that out if you want a sort of knockoff Blockbuster shirt with the Generation S logo to support the channel. But that being said, man, any closing thoughts on Blockbuster or video rentals before we wrap up?
I miss them.
Yeah.
This is flat out. I miss them. I mean,
I think the closest we have now, because we've both done this, is like our local libraries will have like a ton of movies to rent.
Dude, the local library by me is like massive with their DVD selection. I'm like, this is great. I'm like, this is like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, this is...
And they're free.
And they're no late fees.
There's no late fee. Well, technically, yeah.
I pay my taxes. That's my late fee.
That's well, I mean, technically, if you drop it off late, there's like a 5 cents a day. It's just like a library book, I think. But I never worried about that. But yeah, so I have absolutely rented movies from the library. I know some of them even have video games. Mine does not, but I know that some of them do. So yeah, check out your local library, folks, if you want that feeling of renting a movie still. And like, make it a challenge. Like, okay, the only movies I'm watching this week are like, have to come from the 7 that I can get from checking out today at the library. You know, just see what you find, because there's some cool stuff on there. All right, man. I think that's about it. I think we covered everything we can with video rentals. But listen, if there's something else that we missed and you want to let us know about it, check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, all at Generation S Podcast. We are on there. Just shoot us a message, man. Give us a follow. We'll follow you back. And yeah, man, I think that's it. Anything else from you, Lou?
Couple things. I'll make them very quick.
Okay.
It was just as you were talking, you probably saw me look at my phone, because Blockbuster still has all merchandise and stuff like that out. Apparently in March, the website became active again. So I don't know what they're doing. It's such a nostalgic brand. I don't think it's fully dead. I think it's going to, they're going to use that. I've seen this Blockbuster t-shirts. I've seen in the stores. There's Blockbuster puzzles. The brand's not fully dead, but I wouldn't be surprised, because nostalgia is super strong with our generation with disposable income. Maybe something. I don't know.
So like small little key, like little tiny versions of like the full ones or whatever. They probably won't do actual like full stores.
What about actually just a movie theater instead of, you have AMC and Regal and Lowe's?
That would be cool.
You have
Blockbuster movie theater?
Yeah, that would be great.
That I could do. I would totally go to a Blockbuster movie theater with the blue and yellow everywhere and the neon and, oh God, yeah, that'd be really good. Okay.
That's
all right. Now I'm excited. I wasn't excited. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just, okay. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's exciting. The other thing was, for those that were waiting on bated breath, I found no documentation of Carlito or Charlito or something's Angels. Could not find anything. If you're able to, please let us know for my own sanity that I'm not insane.
Yes.
I don't know.
Again, reach out to us on social media, Instagram,
I have
Facebook.
No idea. And finally, as customary, Dan, what's more likely to happen? Blockbuster reopening in some way, shape, or form, or the New York Jets winning the Super Bowl this year?
I see myself sitting in a Blockbuster movie theater drinking a Surge soda sooner than I see the Jets winning the Super Bowl.
Wow, a Surge soda.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I went there.
All right. We'll see what happens.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Lou, as always, thank you for coming on the show. Love having you.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And with that, make it a Blockbuster night. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.